Hello everyone, welcome back to the Craft of the Draft channel. Today we've got a pretty special video ahead of the AFLW draft. We're going to give our Talent League AFLW draft rankings. We've seen a full season of football and we're ready to give our top 20, which we did this for the boys. So if you haven't seen that video, go check that out, although the draft has gone since then. So see how well we did with the boys when we did that earlier in the season. And I guess we'll see how well we do now with the girls. As usual, I'm one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, joined by my other co-host, Jonty Ralph-Smith. Jonty, I'll let you get started and you can go straight to your number one.
I will go straight to my number one. Just to clarify, these are full-time Talent League teams only. So excluding the academies, obviously we cover the full-time clubs. My number one, Alicia Pisano. Hard to go past her. She's an excitement machine inside 50 for the Eastern Rangers. And I think her ability to turn a game in 5 minutes is something that really appeals to me when I watch her. And I think we saw her in the grand final as well, where it felt like the Oakley contained her really well and her direct opponent played a really good game. And then two quick goals in the last quarter and Easton's threatened to snatch that victory. So she finished the season with 38 goals, 24, and she's averaging 6 shots on goal per game. So many times speak to opposition coaches who say, I felt like this player really did a really good job at nullifying what she was able to do. And Alicia Pisano still finished with 2 or 3 goals. So I think that speaks to her class and talent. She's going to be really exciting to watch at the next level. She's my number one.
Yeah, 100%. And I'll ask you this question, but I'll just say my thoughts are based off, and I did this with the boys, that it is what I think their potential will be if they reach a club and I guess the season they've had, and that's where my thoughts are based off. My number one is Michaela Williamson from the Dandenong Sin Raiders. And yeah, she's one that I've just always enjoyed watching purely from what she brings to a team itself. That ability to that meters gained ability, I think, is so important in the female game moving forward now, where he's trying to get away from a very contested style of football. She's pretty much the contrast of that. She loves to run and gun, get it down, uses her kicking to advance the ball, and she just knows how to read the play well and move her body really well. And she's one I've just always enjoyed watching. She's been a great asset at the Stingrays all year and was just a really consistent performer. And yeah, and I'll go to my two and why I ranked her above my number two, but I just think all around, when you say look at what she'll bring to an AFLW club, I just think she has something that will change the evolution of where the game is moving. So that's my number one.
She's the full package, no doubt about that. And she certainly features highly in mine. But Laura Stone is my number two. So she got 14 disposals in the first quarter of a grand final, a Talent League grand final. So if that's not performing on the biggest stage, then I don't know what is. She's one who absolutely dominated for Eastern and Vic Metro, no matter what position she played in. So she's played a little bit across all three lines and showed ability to do it regardless. And I think she's very similar in the fact that she's got that sort of power. She's that prototype midfielder, I think, is where she'll play her best footy, just with the talent that she does have. And I think she's a complete package, but obviously I think her ability to play off half back and rebound really effectively is another real string to her bow.
Number two was your number one, Alicia Pisano. And I guess the reason she wasn't at my number one, I mean, she equally is at number one. It's, I think forwards are more established in the AFLW at the moment and she'll slot in so well. It's just that craftiness. And like you said, an opponent can think they've nullified her and she'll still kick 3 goals. And it's that set shot technique and her kicking technique in general, which is really fine-tuned already. She just doesn't have that difficulty with the ball drop or anything. It just comes so naturally to her. She'll slot in and, yeah, she could almost, it's a bold call, she could almost win a goal-kicking tally in the AFLW in, like, her first or second season. She's that good at her craft, so she's my number two.
Yeah, Michaela Williamson comes in at number three for me. So, yeah, pretty similar to what you said. I won't repeat why, but obviously, yeah, really powerful player. And she had a really big preseason as well, which has really allowed her to come into this season and, yeah, put her best foot forward no matter who she's played for.
Again, Laura Stone, you just had her at two. She's my number three. Again, won't repeat, but just so dominant, like one that will slot in so well. And that's what we're seeing with girls nowadays that are coming through the system. They go into the AFLW and they slot in really nicely. Sort of similar to what we've seen past years, even like someone like a Charlotte Basker and last year at the Jets who came in and has done so well for Hawthorn. Yep. Like they just know how to read the game so well. And
yeah,
she's nuts. She just dominates and loves getting her hands on the footy and using it well. So she's at my three.
Yeah, no, that's a good summary. Ability to read the game, certainly a real feature of Laura Stone's footy. Brooke Barwick at my number four. She's one who didn't play any footy for the Devils this year, a Glenorchy girl from the Apple Isle who will get drafted, and AFLW clubs are aware of her class as having that elite stoppage craft and strength around the contest. Hasn't been able to show it, obviously, due to an ACL injury. Shouldn't affect where she gets taken, and looking forward to seeing what we get to see from her at the next level and how she recovers. Sometimes it can take players a little while to recover from an injury like that. It might take her a third or a half a season to sort of really hit her straps, even if she does start at a VFLW level or doesn't play AFLW immediately, but certainly her long-term potential is quite high.
Well, I do not have her in my rankings purely because I didn't see any of her football, and I'm going to 100% take your word for it. She'll get drafted. But I just didn't want to put her in, and I want to add an extra pretty much into mine that I know I've seen football of.
Yep.
I'll go to my number four. I've got Jess Wrench from the GWV Rebels, who has been one that's just, again, she's continued to play really good football. The Rebels had a pretty tough year, but she always stands out off that half-back line, and it's her toughness and her courageousness that I think stands out quite a lot, given her height as well. She's not a very tall player, but she always puts her body behind the footy, and she's her ability to read the incoming ball, take it and run and gun, get down the ground, move the ball forward. I've just loved watching, and I think it's just something that, again, will translate really well. She's not afraid to move the ball in different directions and get it transition move in her own way. She'll start it herself and she'll make an impact. And she was able to roll a bit into the midfield at the back end of the year as well.
Yeah, no, she's certainly a creative halfback, that's for sure. Next for me is Christy Lee Weston Turner from the Western Jets. We didn't see her feature for a full season this year just due to injury, but she's certainly athletic and she's a key forward. And after missing the amount of footy that she missed to come into Vic Metro and the games she played against Vic Country at Trevor Barker Oval was really, really impressive. I think she had five or six shots on goal, and she's a real presence in that forward line. And she is also able to follow up when the ball hits the ground. She remains relevant. We know some key position players are sort of market or otherwise they're a little bit of a nuisance, to for want of a better term. But yeah, she's certainly not one that's a liability. That's the term I'm looking for. She can get at the ground level and has multiple avenues to go. I really enjoy watching her.
She's also my number five, so it's not great there. I'm not going to repeat what you said, but I was blown away just watching her the first time with the height. Like, that height to do what she does, she moves like she's about 10 centimetres smaller, and she's able to do so much with the footy, and every time she touches it, you'd be very frightened to play against her, especially that, I wonder what the average height is in the AFLW, but I'd assume it's around 165 to 170, so she would be very tough to match up on. So she's also my number five.
Georgia Clark, my number six. She finished the season with 17 goals, the Tasmanian Devil, and she gets a lot of attention from opposition clubs who probably see her as the main player that they have to stop. And Tassie have got some other strings to their bow inside 50, but she's certainly the real focal point. And when she's up and about, it goes a long way to Tassie being at their best. And she's probably as good a contested mark in this draft class, certainly from a talent league point of view, as what there is. And she was able to show that pretty consistently throughout the season. She's obviously an AFLW Academy player as well. And yeah, I think every time I watched her, she justified why she has been talked about and as highly regarded as what she is.
My number six is Hayley McLaughlin, Eastern Rangers, plays on the wing, and she does it so, so well in terms of her ability to read the football on the outside. She's terrific in transition in that she's always understanding of where that next ball will be handballed, kicked over to her, and just provides such good run and carry. She's proficient when she moves inside 50 and doesn't waste her football. Great runner, just great two-way runner in general, which is personal love of mine when a player is able to do that and really showcase that, just that consistent effort across four quarters. So she's one that I think will go probably like under the, like after the 10th pick, and you're getting a terrific player getting her, and she'll build her career very well, I'd assume. So she's my six.
She's certainly a standout winger of this draft class. My number seven is Gemma Ragone. Now, she only averages 12 touches for the Oakley Chargers in 2023. But as we've talked about a lot on this podcast, she's the sort of player that doesn't need a lot of touches to break a game open. And I can think of instances in both the preliminary final against Dandenong and also in the grand final against the Eastern Rangers where Oakley was on the back foot for a 3 or 4 minute period and had to defend repeat inside 50s against. And then she got the ball, tucked it under her arm and just took 3 or 4 bounces up the wing and got her team territory. Talk about the importance of gaining territory in the female game. And I think she's certainly a player that does that. And she takes the game on. She backs herself to break tackles. She's got that line-breaking speed that's as good as anyone in the talent league. And, yeah, she isn't afraid to show it. So, obviously, an overager, a Melbourne father-daughter prospect, and she seized her opportunity this year.
My number seven, Georgia Clark. Similar to what you said, it's just that ability, that marking ability. She's a powerful forward, and that's what you want sometimes. That's what the competition needs, and she's definitely built her football really well. And I don't actually have much to add to what you've said, so she comes in at my seven and similar reasons.
Yeah, 8, Hayley McLaughlin, same as what you said, the standout winger of the competition. I think the other thing that impresses is she's actually reasonable, I think, as a sort of tough, contested player when the ball is in close for someone who has made a name as an outside player. I think she is reasonable in that regard as well. So, yeah, that's the only thing I'd add about her. But, yeah, I've really enjoyed watching Hayley McLaughlin this year.
My number 8 now, and this is where we start to split. I know what Jonty's got coming up. He doesn't know what I've got coming up, yeah. But... this is where we start to split a little bit and go in different directions somewhat. But I've got Kaylee Kavanagh at number 8, and this is, and I feel like this is a very justified position. And I think she's one that really did go quite underrated for what she did. I think she was probably one of the most impressive midfielders. And when you look at someone who just puts her head down, gets a footy, looks up, has 20 people around her, and she'll get it out with ease. She's that player. I thought she was just so super impressive around the contest. And then later in the year when she got Amy Gaylord back, she had Chloe Baker-West, who's coming up in the next 2 years, just it was terrific to watch. She will do her job without a doubt, and she's just so impressive to watch. She doesn't make a big deal about her football, just goes out, plays it really well. And I've really loved watching her, and I think she hasn't got enough credit for the football she's played.
Yeah, she's a no-frills footballer that's certainly flown under the radar this year. Jess Branch is my number 9. I know you talked about toughness as being something that impresses you. For me, her athleticism that I've really enjoyed watching. I think she's that line-breaking halfback. And I know speaking to people about that sort of Vic Country versus WA game wasn't recorded. Part of that game wasn't recorded, but certainly her ability to help them run that game out and her running capacity is really important. She was thrown into the wing position at times in that game and laid a couple of really big run-down tackles, which she also did for the Rebels at times this year. So certainly got those athletic traits to match it at the next level.
Amy Gaylor is at my number 9, and this is probably a ranking that goes to my potential side of my thoughts on these rankings that obviously missed quite a large portion of the season with an injury and came back later in the year. She played the last Metro game and then had some pretty good performances to come back. And obviously you don't expect her to come back 100% afterwards, but she did build really nicely. And I thought she didn't lose any of her craft at all, just really silky with her movement. And same with Kaylee Cav, like they both just know how to read the game really well and built their football smarts tactically so well. And then the skills just come naturally for them. And I think those are two that will really thrive under really strong systems with talent around them. So I think, she's one I'm really excited to see where the future is for her. But that number 9 is a lot on potential. I think she will just keep building. And post-injury, she'll go back to really high standards.
Kaylee Kavanagh is my number 10. You talked about her very extensively when you put her at number 8. Yeah, like I said, I think she's just that player's player, so strong and consistent. Yeah. But, I think you summed her up as a player really well, the Vic Metro MVP.
Number 10 is Jess Vukic for me, and she's just one that you notice her when she's playing. She's just a tough ruck to beat. Like, she's got the size. She knows how to win her own footy and had some pretty good battles throughout the year. Like, she was tested at times, but she does know. She just knows her craft well. She built really well into the season. She does move very well as well for her size. And I think she'll build quite a bit of versatility, because when she gets, if she gets to an AFLW list, she won't be the tallest there. Or she, at least there'll be others around her height. I think you'll be able to move her around a lot, and she'll probably build her skill set a lot more. So she's one I think, again, could be higher or lower, but I think potential, there's a lot to grow with her than more than just the ruck.
There certainly is. I'll speak about her soon. Bridie O'Rourke is my number 11 from the Bendigo Pioneers. She's one who didn't necessarily have the most consistent year this year, but certainly her upside, I think, is as good as anyone in this draft class, just with her athleticism, her explosiveness, her power. When she's in the midfield and at her best, she's incredibly hard to stop one-on-one. And yeah, she does have that speed. She does have that ability to break a game open for her. And she's another player who, when it gets going and when she's at her best, she's as good as anyone.
My number 11 is Isabel Bacon, who I know is not on your list from looking at it.
And
this stems from the Vic Metro South Australia game.
Okay.
Pretty sure it may have been in Queensland. It was still both that she played well, where it was just something that was just incredible. Like, her toughness was ridiculous to the point where it was she just went and won her own football. And then used it well, just went in, got it. And I guess we've got so many talented midfielders on this team, but I just think she really brings another area of toughness that you don't see from midfielders too often, where it's just they know how to win the footy just when it comes out. She knows how to go and hunt the footy and then just break away herself without relying on the footy to drop her away. Definitely potential is put her at 11, I think. Because her start, this is someone who hasn't been in a development program until this year. So that's already something that, you know, when you've only been there for a year, you haven't had as much experience. Give her 2 or 3 years. I think she's just one that will click so well. And it wasn't even till the champs where she started just breaking out really well. So I think if she'd started like that from the start of the year, I think she would be in your list as well on the top 20. But she's at my 11.
Yeah, no, good summary. And certainly I know Andy Dragons are reasonably bullish on what her prospects are in December. So we'll wait and see on that one. My number 12, another really tough midfielder, Meg Robertson, and probably the biggest surprise in mine. I don't know where you've got her. I don't know. Perhaps I overrate her to some degree. But I just think what she was able to produce either side of a really nasty concussion, and particularly after that concussion, did affect her. She played a really strong round 2 game in Geelong, then got that really nasty concussion and spent a fair bit of time out of the game, and then still came back and attacked the footy relentlessly. And I thought her ability to win it in and under and release teammates, we saw how well Michaela Williamson played, was really important and showed how much she does have to offer at AFLW level when so much of the game is played in that sort of contested style of footy. And I certainly think that she's one who, yeah, rarely played a bad game and really flew under the radar at the Stingrays just because of how well Michaela Williamson played. But does Michaela Williamson have the season she does without Meg Robertson by her side? Like, that's something you can debate, and that's not to take anything away from Michaela Williamson, but certainly Meg Robertson is one who will be interested to see. And she may sleep a little bit. She's got the Carlton father-daughter, so she'll probably end up at Carlton. So, yeah, we'll wait and see on that as well. But, yeah, I expect that she nominates for that.
Well, I do have her around a similar position, but not just yet. But Bridie O'Rourke is at my number 12. And that she's someone I wasn't massive on during the season, and I'll be honest to say that I just thought her size was something that hurt her at times because she wasn't as sort of built as other midfielders. But I think she was able to – her athleticism is definitely – just jumped and climbed much higher as the season has went on, to the point where she uses that to her advantage, where she's very silky. She knows how to move her way out of trouble. And I don't think she really needs to rely on in building any strength. So I think that's just something that I think I was very harsh on that. But what she's done, and especially at the Pies where it was pretty tough for them, she played really consistent football and just it kept building really well into the champs and then to the back end of the year. So she's my 12.
Jess Vukic, my number 13. Like you said, that Eastern Rangers midfield so well. You think players have got in there, like you had Laura Stone in there, you had Taylor McMillan, who was really good in there as well, and Georgia Stubbs as well. She's one who, yeah, just set it up, obviously, from the ruck, and her aerial ability around the ground is really impressive. Can play forward as well.
Meg Robertson's my number 13, so very closely aligned. And all I'll add is that her footy IQ is one of the best I saw all year. She just knows how to – every time she had the ball, she knew it was going without having to sort of think and look around. I was so impressed with the way she moved and just knew what it was, what was going to happen next. So that was all – that's all I'll add to Meg's sort of summary. It's just her footy IQ really blew me away. So she's at 13 for me.
Chloe Adams at number 14, which is an interesting one as well. I think she's one who I draw back to a game where Sarah Howley was missing playing for the under-17s in a showcase game at Frankston. And that's where I think Chloe Adams was really able to step up. 38 disposals she had that day, but she played various roles through the Geelong midfield and always performed them really, really well. So I think her ability to do it at the country level, and she was a really important ingredient for them. And then also at Geelong Falcons level was something that was really impressive. So yeah, just that prototype midfielder who's tough in and under.
Number 14 for me, Lara Hausegger, Oakley Chargers. Played a really good role on grand final day, and at one point could have been leading the best on ground, especially in that first half. And I think this one comes back to potential, building a really strong halfback. She knows her craft really well in terms of just her exit strategy. She's pretty well versed in that and coached very well this year, I think, as well. That helps, that she just knew her role really well, plays a lockdown role well, and able to use her intercepting ability to her advantage most of the time. So one that I think will, and I hope she gets a chance. She's probably just in that last category of players that could go either way. But I guess winning that grand final and going so deep into the season, we've seen so much football from her. So I would be surprised if it doesn't go away with the season she's had, and she's built a really nice football resume.
Yeah, she's one that, really enjoyed watching her. She's not on my list, but, yeah, probably the unluckiest to miss my list. Lara Hausegger, certainly an important one for Oakley. Amy Gaylor comes in at number 15 for me. The only thing I'll add to what you said is just how good her leadership was when she was playing as a midfielder and how well she set up the Calder Cannons midfield.
My number 15 is Sophie Butterworth, who... Again, I feel like this is one we've both been – she's one we've both been pretty critical on, and I think it's because we know the potential is so high with her that she's a really – like a strong power forward. You don't usually use that term a lot like around AFL and AFLW, but she really is one that she'll just go for it. She'll lead that hard and get her hands on the footy. And it's really – we've always said there's going to be a game where she breaks out. And I feel like we were always so critical of like, oh, is that a breakout? But she did. She had a good season. We can't deny that. She was always hitting the scoreboard, whether it was accurate at times or not. She was always doing it, and she'll fine tune her craft so well. And I feel like you can't miss out on her in the draft. It'd be pretty stiff not to go with someone who just naturally knows her forward craft so well.
Lily Jordan, my number 16. I just think she's someone whose pressure inside 50 as that sort of small forward, that's that half forward, is really, really impressive. She's also very clean at ground level, which you need to be. She's opportunistic. She does find the goals when she needs to. GWV had a little bit of an up and down season. If she's playing for someone like Oakley, I can see her playing the role of someone like a Sarah Powster or someone like that. Probably the better comparison there, actually. So I am really high on what she can achieve, and her work rate's really good as well.
Number 16 for me, Gemma Rigoni, a bit lower down than what you had her, but it's just to add to what you said, it's impact per possession, that she doesn't touch it a lot, but when she does, she knows how to use it well and move it and advance it really well. And I really loved when she got moved up to the wing. I thought she was much more prominent and was able to showcase her ability a lot more. So she's my 16.
Sophie Butterworth at number 17. Yeah, had a chat to her recently, and we'll have a story on her that will be released. So keep an eye on our stories on our Instagram story for that article. But yeah, played through a fair bit of pain this year. And yeah, that was something which really hindered her and probably didn't quite find her best footy till the last 5 or 6 weeks. As a result of that, she failed. But her grit and determination to still play through that pain and lead up, take those marks, and yeah, despite the opposition attention that came to her, similar to Georgia Clark, be able to keep 2 or 3 goals most weeks, or at least have that many shots on goal was something which was really impressive, and she was the leader of a really young forward line at Dandenong. She was probably at times, and at a lot of times, the only top ager or one of only two top agers in that forward mix.
My number 17, and this is one I'll let you speak a lot more on because you saw a lot of her, but Gemma Ramsdale is at my 17. And one that, again, she kept impressing me the more I kept watching her, and her ability to just really lock down at halfback position was just something I was so impressed with. And she was perfecting the role quite a lot to the point where she was able to shut down so well. But I'll let you continue because I do see she's your number 18. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, she probably, when I sort of watched her first half of the season, a reasonable role player, but nothing to sort of write home about. And then, yeah, it was a Vic Country versus WA game where she got a lot of confidence from that. That was the last Vic Country game. She was dropped for the second game after a poor showing in the first game and took several intercept marks in that game. And that's where her intercepting really started to come to the fore. And from that point onwards, her ability to take intercept marks has really probably separated her from some others. And yeah, she's been able to do it, shutting down some key forwards like your Georgia Clarks that you talk about, and like Chantal Mason, I think she played on as well at one point. And yeah, speaking about Sophie Butterworth before, I'd love to see her play on Sophie Butterworth. I think that's a battle I'd pay to go and watch. I'd be interested to see who emerged victorious. But like Sophie, and probably to an even greater extent, her ability to set up her backline is really impressive, and obviously the captain of the Dandenong Stingrays, and she certainly has that leadership element to her game as well. But yeah, shut down and intercept, and she's a cool head under pressure. So I think she's become a really complete package really quickly. Down back has Gemma Ramsdale.
My number 18, Lila Keck from the Bendigo Pioneers, who I don't think her season was outstanding. Probably could have reached even higher, but obviously, with the season Bendigo had, it was quite tough for her to really showcase what she was capable of. But, and I've said this previously, she's a big game player. She does it on the big stage, which we saw earlier in the year when she was playing AFLW Academy. She hits the scoreboard when she needs to in the bigger games and shows all the potential. She's crafty when the ball comes around, especially inside forward 50. But she's also built that midfield craft where she could go into the midfield mix. Loves to move sort of around the back of the footy and then burst out through the middle and provide some transition moving forward. So I think under an AFLW system, she'll continue to thrive. I think obviously this year was just quite tough given the circumstances of Bendigo that and the season they had in the end.
Yeah, clever little forward. She's certainly one I think will get taken, but she doesn't quite make my top 20. Number 19 for me, Tamara Henry. I think she's one who, for the position she plays, her ability overhead is something which really impresses me. So she's someone who impacted in the forward half consistently for Western this year. Western probably didn't have the season that they would have liked, and that probably impacted her ability to impact games for long periods of time. But her athleticism and her running capacity were a couple of traits that really stood out when I did watch her, and she's certainly one who I expect will get taken. Obviously got the go with Vic Metro as well.
My number 19 is Lily Jordan, and similar to what you touched on, it was her Vic Country performances that really stood out for me, and her ability to get herself involved and really make an impact on games, especially inside forward 50, where she was just able to get her footy on it, get her hands on the footy and make an impact with it. It was just something I was really impressed with because, obviously Rebels had the toughest season. She wasn't able to probably showcase it until later on in the year. And when she got her rhythm going, she was terrific to watch. So a late bolter, and she did really well in that.
Yeah, she did. A little bit of a bolter, I think, is a good appraisal of what her season looked like. Emily Goff comes in at number 20 for me. So, yeah, she's the Sandringham Dragons representation in my list. Booming kick out of defence, which was something that really stood out. And you talk about metres gained from Michaela Williamson right off the top. Michaela Williamson obviously does it with her power, but the ability to kick and clear pressure is something which is really impressive, and she's also really good aerially, so she can take marks and then hit her targets with her long kick, which is something I think will only develop in an AFLW system. I think that will make her a really complete player, and I do hope that she gets taken, because when I did watch the Dragons this year, she was a player that certainly stood out to me.
Well, she was one that was probably unlucky not to make my list. She would have gone pretty similar to what you just had her. My last one that makes a list, and this is a very potential one, is Chantal Mason, because she probably didn't have the game she needed at rep level that didn't really help her case, because we know at club level at Geelong, she was kicking bags. Like, she was one that you could pretty much guarantee would hit the scoreboard at least 3 or 4 times. And that day out in Tassie, she had six. She kicked 6 different goals, which is, I think that is an exclamation mark on a forward that knows how to kick goals in every different way and make themselves useful through different avenues. So I don't know if she's done enough to get an AFLW spot. I'm very interested because the potential's all there. And I hope it's not those performances that will let her down in the end, because I think you give her a chance, she's one that will take it. But even through VFL system, I think she'll be able to show that still and eventually make her way to the list. So she's my 20.
Right on the edge, isn't she? Chantal Mason, yep. Some players now that I guess for both just a little bit of honourable mentions. And I talked about Lara. Mm-hmm. Hausegger being probably the unluckiest miss. But, yeah, just some others that I'll just quickly run through. From my point of view, Chantal Mason's, again, yeah, could have made my 20. Probably, yeah, that Vic Country Carnival let her down a little bit. Ava Campbell, her leadership down back was really impressive. Eastern all year, one of the best leaders in the talent league system, and her intercept marking in that prelim final in particular really stand out. Jacinta Hose is one that we would talk about, no doubt, in the top 20 if she didn't have repeat ACL injuries, only played 2 games this year in between 2 consecutive ACL injuries. Hopefully she still gets a go at some stage. Lucy Cronin down back for Oakley, really important ingredient, probably the best player to miss Vic Metro. Candice Balban is one who was tough in and under for Tassie and will get a go at state league level. Sarah Grundon from the Calder Cannons, when she played forward, her pressure was really good and she understood that craft really well. So they're the main players that miss for me that could quite easily have slotted into a top 20.
A few for me. Emily Goff was probably the one that would have gone at 21 if she was in my list. She was, sort of tossing up between her and Chantel. But I guess obviously both play on opposite ends of the ground. So, but Emily did play, especially a good champ. She played a really good patch of footy to get her into Metro. That showed why she was capable at that level, and she was consistent at Metro as well. Georgia Stubbs, I thought, had a very good season, and with her height as well, still a lot of potential. Jazz Shepherd, again, Sandy girl fullback, had a pretty good middle of the year, probably dropped off a bit towards the end. Tanisha Kikowak, we saw a bit for Tassie, probably a bit unlucky to not hit the 20, but probably didn't have enough top football. Amber Shute, I think, just deserves a good mention there for the football she played throughout the year at Gympie. And then Ruby Murdoch is one that we're both personally very disappointed didn't even make the combine given the season she had. I was very big on her. I'm really not sure how that didn't happen, because I think I said with Meg Robertson about footy IQ, I think she is also in that talk as well. So That's my wrap, unless you have any others.
No, that's about all. So, yeah, I guess appreciate everyone who tuned in. And, yeah, like Nathan said at the start, make sure you go and watch the boys' video, see how we did. And just make sure that if we have said, for example, that Jess Vukic, for example, I've said he's going at 13, she may end up going at 20, but that's because we haven't included the South Australian and Western Australian product. That's something really important to point out. So just talking about Talent League here. But I appreciate everyone tuning in. Stay tuned to our channels for plenty of content in the lead up to the AFLW draft at Craft of the Draft. But for now, that's all we've got time for.